All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is Brunch Boxing. I'm your host, Matt. And I'm here with a very special guest, one of the most talked about fighters in all of boxing. He went from Shushu to Shoe York City. I'm talking about featherweight contender. What's going on, Shushu?
That's one hell of an intro. I like that, man.
Hey, listen. I'm from Brooklyn myself. I'm from Bed-Stuy. I know you're from Brownsville.
Okay.
We always got to rep with each other, you know?
Of course. We right there, brothers and sisters. We right there.
Yeah, facts. Now you're coming off a great, impressive performance against Enrique Vivas, third round knockout of a guy that you were supposed to fight last year, then I think he got delayed, and then you went back to support him in March. Just tell us, what was your thought process going into the fight, and were you even surprised at how well that you performed?
Man, when I tell you, we already had the game plan of how to beat him the first time around, but I will say the time from last year, June to March, I became such a different fighter. I've went through certain things, went through certain adversities to where it was like I had supreme confidence at that point that I was going to beat him. Granted, I still thought it was going to be a tough fight because, he's never been stopped, and even when he has gotten into some type of trouble, he's still in the guy's face, all 12 rounds, and very, active with his punches and whatnot. So I prepared for a full 12-round war. But I sometimes underestimate my own power at times, because that knockdown in the second round, I did not expect. Granted, I know I was punching, granted, but, he tough. You know, I didn't see him in there with guys like Joe Gonzalez, Eduardo Baez, and, you know what I'm saying? He's been in there with some tough dudes, man, so I didn't think that my punch would make that type of effect. But when it did, at that point, I'm a pretty good finisher. So I already knew that I was going to get him up out of there. But yes, I was surprised, though, that I got him up out of there that fast.
Yeah. I kind of feel like this is just me talking as a fan from a distance. I kind of feel like that was your most impressive performance. Where did you rank that performance amongst your most recent performances?
Damn, I appreciate that. I mean, I understand when you see that because of the level of the opponent and what I did to him. So that I can see why you see that.
Yeah, because I was like, okay. listen, I know you got power, but yeah. I didn't know you was hitting like that. I'm like, yo, what's going on here? Now, I wanted to talk to you about your previous fight because you fought on the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul undercard.
Yeah.
Now, to me, one of the biggest events in the history of boxing. Just talk to me about what that experience was like fighting on that type of massive event.
Bro, first of all, I gotta just thank God that I was able to fight on a card with the Mike Tyson. He retired boxing before I even started. You know what I'm saying? So never in a million years that I think I was gonna, share the experience and being on the same card as Mike Tyson. That's crazy. You know, come from Brownsville and all that. That's a fantasy. You know what I mean?
He's Brooklyn royalty.
Royalty, bro. He's, if you know, you know. But just that whole thing, it was crazy because he's the person that he's the one that put me on that card. He was you're telling people, I need Shushu on that card. If he's not on that card, then I'm not doing it. Real life. I'm like, what? He was really pushing that. I think it was because, I was already kind of making a name for myself, but it was after I fought Bernard Torres last year, February, and then I did that whole Mike Tyson's feast, that whole, they don't never like me. I did that whole joint. So that's when he was like, oh, yo, he crazy. He called my team I need you on this card. So that was, but that whole experience was lit. They put us in a nice hotel and we got escorted and these big SUVs and sprinters all the time everywhere we need to go. Everything was a spectacle in terms of the wins and then the media workouts. I love Top Rank and everything they do, but I've never experienced that type of spectacle before, and I had fun doing it. I didn't feel nervous. I felt at home doing it because I see myself as a performer anyway. So that whole joint was lit. But then when I got to the ring, it was just another day in the office, though.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Now, listen, no up at the top rank, but when you go to that luxury living, is it kind of hard to go back to just a regular fight in Vegas? You know, like, damn.
Nah. You got to be humble, son. You got to be humble. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, every single fight matters. Even if I ever got, like, you know what I mean? I never want to be put in this position, but even if I ever get into a position where I've got to fight in a basketball gym, you know what I'm saying? The high school basketball gym, whatever, a little gymnasium, you got to appreciate those little moments because it'd be people that are struggling to even have a fight, period. To come across the table.
Yeah.
And they would take those little fights. So, you know what I mean? It's just about being appreciative with the things I do and with the things I have. And to be honest, Top Rank has been doing great in terms of promoting me, moving me right, and getting me to the spot that I need to become a world champion. I'm right there. I'm one fight away. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, I have no complaints when it comes to Top Rank. But I will say, when it comes to that type of spectacle, bro, you got to expect, though, it's Jake Paul and Tyson. Like, it's that's going to be crazy. Yeah. It got to be crazy. So, yeah, I bet if Top Rank had an event like that, too, it would be wild, too. So, I had fun.
No doubt. Now, listen, you've been one of the most talked about rising stars in the featherweight division, obviously. But what moment for you in your career so far have made you feel like you've truly arrived?
To be honest, I mean, like, I've always had this confidence in myself, but I think I would say was that fight with Bernard Torres. I think I was making a name for, I was making a, like, a I think the end of 2023, I think I fought in December against Jason Sanchez. I was already in a running for Prospect of the Year, and then I ended up that year with a bang, stopping Jason Sanchez. He never been stopped. I think I stopped him in the second round. And around that time, I was also calling out Inouye. Nobody was calling out Inouye. Like, nobody, bro, around that time. And they was just thinking, like, he's just a god. And, you know, he's a legend. He's a legend in the works in his own right, son. Let me just put it out there. I respect the man. But I crave the challenge to be great. I crave to dare to be great. So me knowing that he's trying to come up to featherweight, I'm like, I'm calling him out. And then I put on a performance stopping Jason Sanchez. And then I get the Prospect of the Year awards. And then my coming out party, for sure. And that was my first time fighting on national television as well, was Bernard Torres. And then when I performed the way I did and knocked him out the way I did and then did the whole Mike Tyson thing, that's when I was like, yeah, I'm here, bro. Like, now it's just how I'm gonna just continue to put on great performances.
Now, you did mention Inouye, so let's talk about Inouye a little bit. Because he's the guy in the low weight division. He's the money guy. He's the big star. He's the pound for pound guy in the low weight division. When my guy Mike spoke to you out in Las Vegas, I believe it was for the Benavidez Morrell. He spoke to you out in Vegas. And you did mention that Inouye is a fight that you want. You said you want to welcome Inouye to the featherweight division.
All right. Definitely.
So, but listen, you know, Inouye, you're not coming up to fight for no titles. So you got work to do. Now, what do you have to do to put yourself in a position to get the Inouye fight with
him? Man, listen, well, good thing is that he's in no rush because as of right now, it's not looking like the featherweight champions are, like, you know, in any rush to want to fight me either. So that gives me a little time to be able to, you know, put pressure on these featherweight champions, get my opportunity, and then have it up before Inouye comes up. And that's if he still decides to come up, because I heard, I was in a post-press conference after he fought
Cardenas.
After he fought Cardenas, I went to the post-conference, and he said that if he continues to make 122 as comfortably as he's making it, he sees himself staying at 122. In terms of my interest of wanting to fight him. But see, the thing is, it's understandable, though, if he decides not to come to 126. He doesn't have to, because he has started since 108. He was 108. He started at 108. And he's dominated and done what he's done in the game. So if he decides not to go up to 126 and threaten to tarnish his legacy, that, hey, like, you know, what you going to tell a man? You know, it is what it is. But I would definitely still love for him to come up to 126 and, you know, be the man that beat the man.
Hey, Matt, let me, I want to sneak in a question real quick. What would you pick if you could choose, right? Would you rather fight him in a big fight in New York, or would you rather a bigger payday and go fight him in Japan?
I ain't gonna lie to you. I probably would take that payday if I ain't flying Japan.
Yeah, I agree.
That would be lit. Cause I'm gonna be the man in New York regardless. I take the belt back, and then my next fight in New York will gonna be even bigger. You know what I mean? Granted, the energy will be lit if I was to fight him in New York, but bro, at the same time, bro, like we in it for the money as well. And if I'm gonna fight him, and the location makes a difference in how much I'm gonna get paid, I'm gonna go to fight, you know, in Tokyo, if, or in Japan, period, if that's where, you know, the money, the bigger money lands at.
Now, you did mention that you're having problems getting these champions to fight you. Now, featherweight, historically, at least in recent years, I can't remember the last time they had a unification.
Yeah.
So you can't even get a title shot. Like, what's going on at the featherweight division, and what do you got to do to get these guys to
So, I think, to be honest, what I'm doing right now is I just got to continue to do what I'm doing right now. Like, you know, because the pressure is, like, at this is on them, because they're seeing that I'm asking, like, everybody's seeing that I'm asking these fights. Everybody's seeing that I'm pressing for these fights, and I'm putting on these performances to deserve these fights. And now everybody is like, yo, why are you Shushu? Why are you fighting Shushu? They putting the pressure on these fighters. So I feel like as I'm breaking by the bait. So y'all keep on pressing that. Y'all keep on pressing for me, bro, so they could break and bite the bait. You know, I feel like right now I'm taking the next step to fight. Like, we're trying to situate an interim title shot for my next fight. So, you know.
Yeah, with the WBC.
Yeah. So that's the next thing right now. So I'm making, you know, one step closer, you know, and to be able to put myself in position to fight these guys. And but everything is just one step at a time. And that's it right now.
Is Top Rank, are they offering these guys to fight with you, or it hasn't got there yet? Like, are they saying, like, you're about one fight away, or that they've offered it and it just hasn't come to fruition?
No, they've offered it. Like we were heavy on the Stephen Fulton fight. And we thought we was gonna get it, and then I fight Vivas. And then next thing I hear, after I fight Vivas, he wants to move up. I'm like, damn, all right, let's move on to Nick Ball. We shoot for Nick Ball, and then Nick Ball's like, nah, like, because he wants to plan a fight in December. Damn, all right. We shooting at Espinoza. Espinoza's like, nah, because he wants to fight. It's just a runaround. It's just a whole runaround with everybody. So, yeah, it's listen, you can't imagine how frustrated I am. You know, but what can I do as of right now? All I can do is just keep doing what I'm doing. And then, you know, I think that naturally would apply pressure to everybody. And then, you know, one day, one way or another, we're going to get it.
Now, do you...
Go ahead.
Do you feel like it's almost a blessing in disguise? Because you were just saying that from these last five fights, you're a complete different fighter, mm-hmm. right? And you don't have a lot of fights. I mean, you only have 15 fights, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that the fact that you're going to get this in a little bit late of your late 20s, that's actually a blessing in disguise because you kind of came into your own as a fighter?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely look at it as that way too, because I'm learning certain things and learning a lot about myself. Building a lot of things that I do wrong as a fighter as well, and just my whole approach to the game. Like, honestly, it's like, if the longer these guys wait, the worse it's gonna be for them, you know? Because I'm gonna get better and better. I'm gonna get stronger. I'm gonna just, you know, be more of a well-rounded fighter. You know, the amount of confidence that I had last year isn't compared to the confidence that I have this year. And yeah, man, and it's funny because a lot of these dudes, they be trying to use the cop out, like, oh, he ain't fight this person, he ain't fight that person, he ain't fight that person. One, first and foremost, at this point, if I am such a nobody and I ain't fight this person, fight that person, I'm highly ranked. If you beat me, you will get credit. You know what I'm saying? Why not fight me? You know, if I'm such a nobody, right? Because y'all fighting nobodies anyway. Y'all fighting there's other guys that's no name, that have a lesser name than I do, which, no disrespect, but let's call a spade a spade. You know, but on top of that, bro, the sanctioning bodies got me at number one, number two, number four. Like, it's rare to when you see all these sanctioning bodies agree on this one fighter that they want to be their champion. It's rare that you see that. And so whatever y'all say that I didn't do, it don't matter. It really don't matter. I'm here. If y'all have a problem with it, shut me up, bro. That's just kind of how I see it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, one of the guys who, because I knew you were going to be fighting for the interim belt, because, you know, we reported that Stephen Fulton was moving up to fight Oshaki Foster sometime in August. But one of the guys who was hoping that they could challenge you for the interim belt, we interviewed him last week, Rais the Beast Aleem. Has Top Rank talked to you about potential names that you're going to be fighting for the interim belt?
Yeah, they talked to me about potential names, but his name has not come across the table. You know, Rais, he know I'll be more than willing to fight him. I'll be more than willing to fight anybody. Y'all know what's up. Like, it is what it is. Anybody that want to step up to the plate, I'm down. Like, so it don't really matter who it is. I just want to get to the promised land.
Now, are you expecting Stephen Fulton to come back down, or you're just looking at it like, I'm probably not going to fight Stephen Fulton no more. It's more likely going to be somebody like Ray Vargas when he comes back from his injury and stuff like that. Like, who are the guys that you are looking at in the 126-pound division?
I actually am interested to see if Fulton is going to come back down. He's talking like he can't, like he struggled to make weight at 126 still, which kind of took the air out in my interest of fighting him too. So, but if he does come down, like, I'm kind of interested to see if he does do that. But Nick Ball is definitely someone that I'm really interested in fighting. Out of all of the champions, like, Nick Ball is probably the guy that I'm really interested to fight. Him and Espinoza. Those guys, they're really... Why are you laughing?
Because how you go from the smallest guy to the biggest guy?
That's funny. Nah. No, but I mean, okay. So I say Nick Ball because he's probably the most lucrative fight out of all of the champions. You know what I mean? Yeah. And okay. Then I say Espinoza is because he is probably the most, you know, challenging out of all of them. And because of his height, I don't really think his style makes any trouble for these guys. It's his style plus his height. That combination makes it interesting for anybody. Like, he's a nightmare for anybody except me. but I do feel like me and him, our styles is going to be a match made in heaven. And I just want to just, you know, fight the best to get the respect that I know I deserve. And, you know, it's funny because I be saying, I want to fight this guy, I want to fight that guy. And I be seeing comments like, you don't want to fight him. I mean, you ain't just hear what I just said. Like, what you talking about? I want to fight him. Why I don't want to fight him? That sounds stupid. And I'm like,
no, it's funny that you say that, because fans always be like, oh, this guy never fight nobody. Then when you want to fight somebody, they're like, oh, you don't want
yeah,
to
fight. Yeah, like, that make no sense.
You. Like, bro, do you want me to fight somebody?
Exactly, bro. So, like, that make no sense, bro. So, like, I'm just going to just, you know, focus on what I'm doing and just, you know, just continue to just knock these dudes out, man.
At 126, if you get the belt, do you plan on trying to go for undisputed? You plan on staying there for a little bit? Or could you see yourself going to 132?
I'm definitely interested in doing one undisputed. I ain't even gonna lie to you, because I don't think there's ever been there's undisputed featherweight champion in full belt era.
No, not even close. They don't
unify.
I'm telling you, they don't unify.
Yeah, so man. I'm definitely interested in being a first undisputed. I make weight very comfortably. And I don't understand this narrative that I'll be drained and all that. I really don't get it. Like, people that's in the gym with me.
Nah. You be looking crazy at these weights.
Bro, I don't get it, bro. Yeah, go back to my first fight. I look the same. Like, I don't understand people. I'm going to look skinny, bro. I'm going to be skinny. Get over it. And think about what my performance is. That's what matters.
It's the
like,
face, man.
I don't.
It's the face. The face. You be looking like the Thriller bitch.
Yo, y'all crazy, like, bro. On, hey, listen, I'm going to be skinny. Get over it. I'm going to be skinny. Don't, I mean, like, it is what it is. Like, I make weight comfortably. Like, I was on weight 3 days before I even hit the weigh-ins my last fight. I was on weight. I had to chill out and pull my workout back in terms of the intensity and everything, because I was losing my weight too fast.
I'm really glad you said this, because I am tired of hearing about these people being weight experts.
Yeah,
about
like,
I'm tired of it. So I'm glad you said this.
Do I look drained in my fights? Do I look weak in my fights?
No.
At the Matt, at the Wayans baby, but not the fight.
Yo, that's crazy. Bro, I don't be weak, bro. I be chilling. I swear, bro. I be chilling. I just be skinny, bro. Chill. Let it chill. Nigga, chill out, bro.
Nah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Now, what was your what would you say is the best performance that you've had so far in the ring?
Ooh. Wow. I mean, I really like that Yuri Andujar fight. The way I think that was like my third fight, my first fight in MSG. That knockout went crazy, but it was more so like everything before the knockout, just how fast I was, you know, how I was picking him apart, breaking him down, and then the round that I got him up out of there, how I was just hitting the body and, you know, setting up the big shots and then slip right hand, left hook, boom, night over. Like, that was beautiful. That joint was real beautiful. But I think one of my most systematic fights was, I think his name was, oh man, what the heck was his name? I fought him in Tulsa, Oklahoma back in 2023.
Jason Sanchez?
No, not Sanchez. It was before Sanchez. Juan Antonio something.
Oh, Contreras.
Contreras, yes. Like, that fight, like, I was, like real, like, defensively on it and then making real nice little offensive moves, different angles. That was one of my sharpest fights, I could say. Granted, I think the one thing I could take away from that fight, I feel like I was blocking a little too much instead of, like, making a miss and weaving. But defensively, I was on the money. And then, you know, I wasn't getting hit by no, you know, little stupid shots or nothing like that, so... Yeah, I think that was probably like one of my best fights.
Are you considering yourself more of a defensive fighter or an offensive fighter?
A little bit of both. I can get very defensive, you know, not to the point to where it's a snooze fest, but, you know, definitely to where, like, I could go a whole round without getting hit. Like, I can be that defensive. But I think I'm a good mix of both. It's even.
Oh.
Now a lot of fans have been talking about the aesthetics of a boxing fight. Oh, this is boring. That's boring. Do you ever think about that while you're in there? Like, oh, the fans is booing, or I got to be excited for the fans. Like, what's your thought process when it comes to
that? I used to. And I'm going to tell y'all, and I'm going to be honest, right? And I'm going to tell y'all when I stopped caring on the Suleiman Sagawa fight. I feel like because so many people didn't know who he was, they're not gonna give him his credit. That man is he's a problem for anybody. You know, I feel like he, before he fought me, he fought Ruben Villa and Ruben upset Villa. Him. Uh-huh. Like, really, like, beat him convincingly. Yep. And I was at that fight, and I was actually who was on a table at the time? Carlos Castro. I was actually supposed to fight Carlos Castro in that September. But when I saw Suleiman Sagawa, I'm like, nah, I want to fight him. Like, that interests me. Like, I just crave to want to fight a tough fight. But my approach to it was off. Like, I think I came off of, like, 3 straight knockouts at that point, and I'm fighting in New York again, and I'm going in there and trying to knock him out. You know what I'm saying? I'm winging punches, and I'm just, you know, wrong game plan. I should have boxed him. You know what I mean? I felt like if I was to fight him again, like, I would box him and have a different approach, you know, and be smarter. But I was definitely trying to, like, woo the fans, and I was hearing, like, you know, his crowd start cheering, and I started worrying about the fans a little too much. So those are little things that was very interesting, that was very important for me to go through in order to be able to fight for a world title now. So that's one of the things I'm grateful for, like, not fight for a world title so soon, because I definitely need to learn that in order to build my maturity.
Now, obviously, you saw all the reaction on social media after that fight. You did have some fans say, we think that Shushu lost the fight and stuff like that. Is that a fight that, even when you're champion, that you might want to run back?
That's not a fight that I really think about, because I understand what I've done wrong. And to be honest, he's even showed his disinterest to fight me. Like, they asked him after the fight was over, like, oh, do you want me to get a rematch? And he was like, no. So it's like, I mean, if y'all want to see the rematch, bro, again, I'm all for it. But
you know, would it make sense? Would he be interested in it? You know, like, so many things have to be in play for it to happen. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. If he don't like, you know, fight, then it's like, then I'll just be able to continue to just move on and get these dubs. That's it.
Yeah. No doubt. Now, you did mention that there have been some names on the table that Top Rank threw on there for you. Anything you could share with the people? Maybe some potential names that we
could bro. I can't tell you the names that was on the table, but I can tell you the names that I can tell you not the, necessarily the names, but just around the area that declined. Basically, the world champions and all the top contenders, all of them.
Okay.
They the world champions. I get the top contenders is like, damn, like so what the? I'm number one. So why y'all wouldn't want to fight me? But so the thing is, right now, what I'm hearing is that you know, these top contenders, they are one fight away basically from a championship too, and they would like an easier route to get there. So, you know, that's where I'm at right now.
Man, I'm telling y'all, about East Aline is the player.
Well, listen, if it comes across the table and everything makes sense, let's do it. That's as simple as that.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, when's the next time can we expect you back in the ring? Because you've been pretty busy, like, the last, like, few years. You've been fighting 3-4 times a year. You already got, like, 15 fights in only less than 4 years. So, when you get
back out? Definitely expect me soon. Y'all gonna see me in the summer. Y'all definitely gonna see me in the summer. And, you know, I don't know if I can disclose a date yet, but y'all definitely gonna see me in the summer. So,
You can always say
hey, don't leak it. Or you can just say it on the show right now.
Calm down.
But definitely for sure in the summertime. But y'all gonna just be ready to tune into the Shushu show, man. You know I never disappoint.
That's a fact. Now, you have been like showcasing your personality more. You know, you mentioned the whole thing with the Mike Tyson impression. Yeah. I've seen you like appearing in skits and stuff like that. what's going on? What's this? Have you always been this way, or is this something you just got into?
I like this reaction because this is exactly what I wanted. For those who know me, know I've been this way. Like, even my old friends, they see me from high school or middle school. They're like, "Yo, you never changed." Like, I've been this way since I was little, bro. I've always been like this. But I just feel like I know that now is the time for me to be able to show the people more of who I am, my personality. And, you know, I'm everywhere. I'm doing anything and everything right now. Like, it didn't just drop. It dropped in 2023. But the movie that I've just put out on my feed called The Featherweight, it's a movie on Willie Pep.
Yeah.
In that movie, and it just dropped on Apple TV, Amazon Prime. Y'all guys can check that out. And I got a little small role, but, you know, I be moving around, man. I be moving around and doing my little thing here and there. I'm definitely showing that I'm more than just a boxer. Like, I can be a commentator. I've been commentating a lot of fights lately as well, too.
I noticed that, too.
Well, you know,
I got to tell you, you're actually pretty good.
Thank you, man.
No glazing it up. You're actually pretty good. I was like, okay. Listen, Shushi ain't going to be hurting for no money.
For sure. We definitely opened up the avenues.
I did want to ask you, because I saw a lot of fighters were announced as like a ring ambassador. I see that you were one of them. Yeah. What does that entail to be a ring ambassador?
I mean, to be honest, it's just any brand ambassador that with any other company. It's just I get paid for making appearances, wearing their logo on my outfits, you know, posting them on my feed. That's the stuff I get paid for. So that's basically it.
Are there any chance we'd be seeing you in fighting in Saudi?
Possibly. A partnership like that with being a brand ambassador, those opportunities definitely can happen. So don't be surprised if you guys see me on a big card.
All right.
Now, I wanted to go back with you to your amateur days because you have a deep amateur career. You got almost 300 amateur fights.
Yeah, for sure.
So So you were supposed to go to the Olympics. Mm-hmm. COVID happened. Mm-hmm. You decided to turn pro. Was that like a tough decision for you because you've been an amateur for so long and part of Team USA for so long?
It was yes and no. it was tough because back in 2016, I was an Olympic alternate for the 2016 team. And I could have turned pro then. I already had a decent resume. But I fought, I think, my first time overseas. And I actually fought Joe Cordina. Me and him fought at 132. And, he showed me how ready I wasn't for the next step. You know what I'm saying? And that was a lot of, premature things that I was doing. And I would do, honestly, to be honest, I wasn't even taking boxing that serious. Like, as much as I, you know, have it a part of my life now, like how much of it's a lifestyle now, like I was just doing things strictly off talent and not really training that hard. But, you know, after that, I dedicated the next 4 years to make the Olympic team. I made the USA team. I won the Olympic trials and everything. And I was that close to qualifying for the Olympics. But like you said, COVID happened. Well, forget that. Forget that part. Well, actually, when the Olympics got pushed back one that extra year, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. But I could stay one more year. It ain't going to hurt nobody. But then once I really couldn't make it, it really, like, you know, it hurt me because, like, you know, I'm sitting back at home watching everybody at the opening ceremony and they, you know, all lit and everything like that. I was happy for them, don't get me wrong, but it sucked because I did everything I needed to do in order to deserve that, and I just couldn't. So that really, like, you know, gutted me. But I knew I'm at my age. I'm like, bro, I'm like 23, 24. Like, bro, I can't spend too much time in this. Like, I want to become a pro boxer. I want to become a world champion. And, you know, I want to be, you know, in a different financial bracket, bro. I mean, I want to be able to, be able to feed my family and all that and live a different type of lifestyle. So that part is why I say it wasn't a hard choice, but definitely missing out on the Olympics. It was tough. But first fight, Tyson Fury, Wilder 3 card. Well, I'm going to say no to that.
I ain't going to say no to that. Yep.
So, yeah, that was late, though. So, you know, I feel like everything happened for a reason.
How did, like, the international experience, like, shape your method? Because you did mention that Joe Cordina showed you that you wasn't ready where you needed to be. So how did that shape, like, how you became who you
are? That let me know, like, I wasn't familiar with certain styles, and I didn't know how to approach, like, the European style, the Russian style, the Cuban style, and all of that I had never experienced before I fought Joe Cordina. So it was like, dang, like, that humbled me on the real. Like, I'm thinking that I could just probably just go in and do what I do. No, like, he did his thing. I ain't gonna lie, bro. I always say that. Like, I always give him his props. Like, yo, bro, like, you definitely humbled me, and that made me into the boxer that I am today. I ain't even gonna front. Because I needed that. I was 19 years old. He was about 425. He was already lined up. He was already on the Olympic team as well, too. So it was like, yeah, I needed to go through that type of experience. And that let me know how much harder I needed to work. And to be honest, like, that's still some things I went through. I was actually about to quit boxing in 2018. That was it, yeah.
Wow.
I was going through a lot, man. Like, I hit financial low. A lot of personal things going on in my life wasn't, you know, going great. My brother passed, and then on top of that, it's just like I felt like I was just plateauing. Like, granted, I wasn't, you know, life is boxing. That wasn't me, you know what I mean? Like, that wasn't my approach, so... But I still was expecting all of these things and these wins and whatnot without working hard. I don't know why I was thinking like that, but that's what it was. So I actually, you know, wanted to take a break, and that break turned into entertaining, not boxing. And then 6 months down the line, my pops was like, yo, like it's either you going to get back in the gym and work out and box, or you going to get a 9-to-5 because you ain't going to be sitting on my couch, nigga. You ain't going to be doing that. So I'm like, all right, let me get back in the gym. And I when I got back, I was so out of shape, and I'm getting beat up in sparring. Mind you, I would never get beat up in sparring, bro. Like, I'm getting touched up and getting tired by the third round. I'm just, like, thinking, like, yo, this is over for me, bro. And my dad was like, yo, like, bro, you're supposed to feel like this. First off, you ain't been in the gym in mad long and you wasn't focused. Like, really, you never surrendered to the sport of boxing. And when he told me that, I don't know what happened. Like, something, like a light just turned on. Something sparked in me.
Yeah.
And then I started.
That's your accomplishment.
Yeah, that was it. I started to wake up 3 a.m, running 4 or 5 miles, 6 miles, 4 a.m, working out 3 times a day, you know, sparring all these different people, different weight classes. And I really like turned it up after that. And that has put me on the momentum that I'm on now.
Yeah, that's right. What's been like the biggest adjustment from the amateurs?
Taking your time and picking like your shots. Like the amateurs is all tap, tap, tap. You know, you might land a little hard shot here and there to keep your opponent off you, but you know, it's like a lot of pity pat. And that's I hated it, bro. I really hated how I had to convert to the amateur style just to be able to make it as far as I did. You know, it was what it was, but I didn't really like it. But when I got to the pros, like I felt at home. Like I'm like, yeah, like I know a lot of these dudes are not smarter than me, so I'll break these dudes down. I was never a 3-round fighter, never. So that's why, you guys will probably see like certain guys, like, oh, he lost this tournament, or he lost to this guy, and lost to that guy in the amateurs. I was never a 3-round fighter, and there's a lot of pros that's very successful that were horrible amateurs or just, you know, mediocre amateurs. And I wouldn't call myself mediocre, because whenever.
Bro, you have like over 250. Yeah, yeah. That's far from mediocre.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see myself as mediocre whatsoever. And everybody that know me wouldn't see me as that either. But, you know, I definitely could have done more. You know, I just didn't.
You know, I don't know why. I always feel like it's easier to amateur to go from pro to amateur when it's women's boxing, because it's only 2-minute mm-hmm. rounds and they got to fight basically their style, get their shit off so quick anyway. So I kind of feel like it's different for men's boxing.
Bro, 100%. That extra minute make a big difference. It makes a big difference. Like a lot of these women fights would turn out differently if it was 3-minute rounds.
Now, obviously, like you've shown like a lot of poise and polish in the ring. Like your style has grown, your craft has grown. Like what fighters did you study like growing up?
Oh, man. Well, first and foremost, you already know Tyson was one of them. You know, so about like the rage and the energy that you got to bring into the ring. I can't say that I adopted his style, but in terms of style, Mayweather, Sugar Ray Leonard, Sugar Ray Robinson, James Toney, Pernell Whitaker, even guys like Gerald McClellan. I study on all those guys, man. Oh, Winky Wright was one of my favorites too. I picked up a lot from them, you know, like their little crafty little tricks. If you notice, like if you really, really notice, a lot of these dudes, man, are not crafty. Like they're athletically talented and they might be fast. They might be, you know, get off a little trick or two. But a lot of these dudes are not crafty. Like, you know who's one of the a crafty boxer that, you know, he's out of his prime now and people don't really talk about him that much for real nowadays? Julian J-Rock Williams. He's crafty, bro.
Oh, yeah.
J-Rock is crafty. Tevin Farmer, crafty. You know what I mean? It's not a lot of dudes that give them their flowers, man. And those are the dudes that I take little tricks from them as well, too.
Do you think it's because fighters?
Because it's funny that you mentioned J-Rock, because when he was on the tank card on March 1st, I was telling people, yo, if J-Rock could just fight 6 rounders at this point, he would give a lot of because he is hell for those first 6 rounds. You know, he like he was making my man Tejas. Mm-hmm. It was looking bad for him. I was like, yo, J-Rock is doing this.
Yeah. He's a problem, bro.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, do you think, because I've kind of noticed that, too, a lot of craft is, you know, it's just not there. But do you think it's because people stop working on their game as they get to, like, a higher level? They just kind of do what they do best? And do you still look to add to your game? Like, do you still look to say, like, I don't do this much, or maybe I could add this tool or something like that?
Oh, well, first question, I think that maybe you're right in that. Like, maybe, like, they probably, like, don't
work on certain things. But me, like, I'm, to your second question, I'm a student of the games. As I never feel like I'm going to get to a certain level to where it's like, all right, I know everything. Like, that's enough. Like, nah, there's always going to be someone that's going to be more athletic, much faster, or bring a new trick or something. Like, you know, a guy like, let me see it, for example, you got to focus on, you got to try to figure out how to beat guys like Navarrete. You know what I'm saying? Like, Navarrete, he's a freaking anomaly. He does everything wrong, but it works.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how you going to beat that? What type of sparring partner you're going to get to prepare for that? You know, the little things like that you got to learn how to deal with. And, yeah, you just got to just know how to fight different people. So you're going to always got to, you always got to learn, bro. It's never enough to learn. You never, you should never be too old or too experienced to learn anything.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I just see that, you know, a lot of guys can't do certain things. They got to be an outside fighter, can't find the inside. Like, it looks like you never worked at it at all or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just always curious about that. I'm like, ah, you know, you would think you want to add that to your game. You know, you think you might be well-rounded, but it's maybe not for everyone, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, nah. And I feel like some people, so a lot of people aren't students of the game. Like, bro, there's a large number of boxers that don't even watch boxing. They don't even like watching boxing. I'll be like, how? Like, what? Like, how you don't like watching boxing? I watch boxing almost every day. You know what I mean? And sometimes my girl got to take the phone from me and be like, oh, like, no, like, to go to sleep. Like, get some rest. Like, I just be up watching boxing. Like, I was just up watching the Chris Eubank and Conor Benn fight last night. You know what I mean? Like, I just be up just watching fights, bro. I was watching Stephen Fulton fights last night, too, with him and Carlos Castro and him and Figueroa and Figueroa versus Carlos Castro and Carlos Castro versus, like, I was just up watching boxing. Like, I just do that. I don't understand why people don't.
What did you think? I'm just curious. What did you think of the Ben Eubank fight?
Oh, yeah, that was a tough fight. That was a very tough fight. Canada of the Year for Fighter of the Year. I feel like that fight could have went either way, but I think it went into Eubank's favor because, you know, he finished so strong. Like, that finish was just very strong for him. And on top of that, that story that, you know, with him and his dad was just like, that dude is beautiful. So I feel like a lot of people was like, yeah, like, they really wanted, like, Chris Eubank to win. But Conor Benn, bro, like, he definitely, you know, dared to be great. Went up in weight. What did he win? It's like one or two weight classes to fight Eubank?
Yeah, went up one.
Yeah, he went up that one weight class to fight Eubank. And, you know, still looked very strong. He hurt Eubank a couple times. And so, like, he definitely showed a great test of himself. I didn't even know he knew who I was. I met him at a Times Square fight, and I went up to him to just take a picture. He's like, oh, shoo-shoo. I'm like, you know me? Oh, that's lit. I ain't gonna lie. That was like a little starstruck moment for me. I ain't gonna front, because that was cool. Like, I respect Conor.
That's that Mike Tyson, Jake Paul card, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, word, right. Maybe.
A lot of people saw you fight.
Maybe, bro.
Now, outside of boxing, like, what keeps you, like, grounded and motivated? Like, what kind of passion do you have outside of the sport?
I mean, man, like, bro, first and foremost, I put God in front of everything, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like, he takes a step before I take the step to follow. You know, I put him in every single thing that I do. And that's one of the main things that keep me grounded. And on top of that, you know, I picked certain people to have in my circle. I don't have yes men in my circle. I have people that's going to hold me accountable. I'd rather a person, you know, diss me a million times than a person that tells me, you're doing great a million times. You know what I'm saying? Because like, a person that's giving me certain type of criticism, even if it might come from a place of malice, there must be some truth to it. So, you know, I sometimes to sit back and see if certain things are true with whatever remarks a person makes. Yeah, you know, I have certain people that's around me that's going to keep me on a straight path. And then I'm pretty responsible doing it myself. I don't really be going out parties. I don't really be drinking. I don't smoke. I don't do, you know what I mean? So all of that stuff is, you know, one of the main things. But I'll be just chilling at home with wifey, watching anime. You know what I mean? Most of the time, bro, that's what I be doing. I'll be chilling, man.
So, I just want to know top three animes right now.
Top three animes right now? Oh, okay. So Jujutsu Kaisen is one of them for sure. JJK is lit. I love Solo Leveling. There's a couple of shows that's coming up. That's like,
I hope you're writing these down, man. I hope you're writing these down.
There's a few shows that's lit right now. Like that's kind of like under the radar. Like, but okay, my top three though: Jujutsu Kaisen, Solo Leveling, and Kaiju Number 8. Those three are lit. Those three are my favorite right now. But Windbreaker is up there. Straight hands. Straight hands. They go, it's a straight action. Wistoria, Wistoria Wand and Sword, lit. Like, there's a few joints that's like under the radar that's mad, that's real active.
Listen, I can't tell if you're naming shows or God is going to get you ready.
Yo, that's mad funny. But yeah, you got to tune in.
What's something that fans don't see about the grind behind the scenes that you want to get out there? Because I see a lot of fans, they talk shit sometimes to you guys. You know, I've been guilty of it in the past. Not so much so more.
I'm getting out right now.
What are some of the things that
happen
in the life of a boxer?
I mean, to be honest, like, one thing, first and foremost, like, granted, some weight cuts are harder than others, but the toughest part of boxing is the weight cut. Like, if you are a guy that's going up in weight, then obviously it's not hard. But, you know, you staying in the weight class for a certain period of time, like, that's, you're going to come through, you're going to go through certain adversities of certain days. Like, when you cut in weight and, you know, you drink a little bit of water and you just shoot up 3 pounds out of nowhere. You're like, what the heck? I was just sipping water. Like, and you got to work to get that off. And sometimes you got to beat yourself mentally to not get discouraged and whatnot. And, you know, like, that's not something that I have gone through many times, but I've had my fair share of experiences, especially in the amateurs. You know, most on the pros, like, I've kind of got it down to a science, but, you know, I understand what it's like. So that's one of the main things. And then also just, you're not going to always be motivated to work out. Like, you're not. Like, every day, I don't want to be getting up 3 o'clock in the morning to run up at 8,000 feet, 8,000 plus feet mountain at 4 o'clock in the morning. Then nobody want to do that. Like, you know what I mean? But you, at the same time, you got to be disciplined. You got to be dedicated to know, like, yo, like, if I'm doing this, I know my opponent is not doing this. I'm up before he get up. I'm up before the sun get up. And I'm putting in work. And then I got 2 more workouts after that. You know what I'm saying? It's like that, when you have that type of thinking, it's like, you know, you gonna put in that work. And then on top of that, me, granted, I might not be the fastest, I might not be the strongest in the gym, I might not be, you know, certain things, but I put my everything, I put my all into every single workout I do. And I try to be perfect, or as perfect as I can be in every single workout. So that's why the fights that happen, when it seems so easy and y'all want to knock off these guys as no names and really they actually problems to anybody else that they would have fought, when I make them look easy, that's the reason.
Yeah, I always felt like discipline isn't an excuse, it's a skill. And we don't give the fighters enough credit when they are disciplined.
Yeah, man, bro. The mental strength that you have to have to be as disciplined as we are as fighters, bro. Bro, it's different. That's why so many different sports, they respect us to this day. That's why basketball players, they take boxing lessons. Football players, they take boxing lessons. Like, you know what I mean? Like, our sport is respected as much as it is for a reason.
No doubt. You got time to take a couple questions from the fans. A lot of times the fans.
Oh yeah, like for sure. I got about 5 more minutes for sure.
All right.
Oh, Matt, you're out there.
My guy, Matt, got poor service, man.
Yeah. This is a running gag on this show.
It's my cat, man. This cat.
Nah, it's a cat.
As much as I would love to hear the explanation on that, I think we got to go to the fans. We got to go to the people who are listening.
ATH, you're on with Bruce Carrington. ATH, what's going on, man?
Yeah, what's up, Bruce? I'm just gonna say, I'm also from Brooklyn, New York, so I give you a lot of respect, man, for your career, what you're doing. Like, I know a lot of people from that neighborhood.
Man, he only got 5 minutes. Come on, wrap it up.
Okay, one last question. So my main question is, you said that you liked Tevin Farmer. You felt that he was very crafty. Yeah. What did you feel about the Cepeda and Farmer fight?
Man, I feel like, see, the thing is with Farmer, he sometimes fades. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he'll let off the gas sometimes, but he'll have the perfect game plan to beat certain dudes. Sometimes he's not offensive enough, you know, to be able to take certain rounds. Or, like, maybe just the guy will just be landing, like, more eye-catching shots to be able to swing around his way. But, like, Kevin Farmer, he's, like, such a thorough fighter, bro. And, but yeah, I feel like Zepeda was deserving. You know what I mean? I feel like Zepeda is deserving to win those fights that he got.
All right, Moose, you're on with Bruce Carrington. Moose.
What up, Bruce? I've seen over the past that you and Ray Savage have been talking shit to each other and sub-tweeting each other. Is that a fight that you would entertain at 130? And what's the history between you guys?
Ain't no history between us, bro. I could care less to even talk about Raymond Ford. I'm so focused on fighting the champions in 126. I'm not even looking at 130 right now. When the time comes, the time comes. But I'm really not caring to talk about Raymond Ford. Like, it's just, honestly, it's just literally nothing that he's trying to make into something, bro. Like, I could really care less to talk about, dude.
Yeah, belt to ass.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Give like your fans like some parting words, where they can find you at, stuff like that, and what they could do to support Shushu Carrington.
Yeah, man, listen, you guys, man, y'all can follow me on my Instagram, Bruce_Carrington. Obviously my Twitter is here. Yeah, man, y'all, to be honest, all I want y'all to do is just keep showing out and keep an eye on my journey, man. The Shushu Show. You never know. Don't blink, bro. It's always going to be a showstopper, man. And everybody get behind me, man. I promise to be one of those. I promise to give that feel, that old school fighter type of feel, that Four Kings era type of feel. You know what I mean? A real man, a real warrior, a real fighter, man, a real gladiator. I see myself as that. Y'all going to see myself as that as well, too, as the years go on. Y'all going to see me expose all the frauds, all of the fake tough guys. Because when I stepped up to the plate and I'm calling these dudes out, y'all obviously see nobody trying to fight. So y'all going to continue to see that for the rest of my career.
Now, I only got one request. I need you one day to walk out to that Cam, Ron, and Jay-Z song, Welcome to New York City. You got to change it to Welcome to Shoe York City, man.
Yo, bro, listen, bro. I got a bunch of songs in my notes right now that I know I'm going to walk out to. So, and it's funny that you say that because that's one of them anyway. So
Okay.
It's going to happen.
Well, I appreciate you for joining me, man. Make sure you guys go check out The Featherweight. It's on Apple TV. You're going to see Shushu in there. I see him, you know, doing a little work in the background. Okay, Shushu, I see you. You know, he got commentary games. Just follow him on all social media platforms. Make sure you guys support the young brother from Brooklyn,
yes, sir.
You
know,
Shushu Carrington, ladies
appreciate
and gentlemen.
Y'all, man. Thank you for having me.
That was top featherweight contender Bruce Shushu Carrington, New York City in the building. This has been another edition of Brunch Boxing. We will be back later this week with another special guest. I can't say who yet. I'm trying to finalize it. I don't want to jinx it. But we may have another special guest later on this week. Listen, support the show. Support Brunch Boxing. Get some Brunch Boxing gear. Hit the Cash App, something. You know? Yeah, support the show, ATH. Nah, I'm kidding. So ATH always supports Brunch Boxing. So shout out to ATH. I appreciate you guys, as always. Appreciate my host, Ezra, for hopping in here. I know Ezra's a very busy man. You know, we still didn't get our Rolly breakdown yet. You know?
Let me tell you something.
All that work.
This is like, this is like studying like a scholar or something like that. You got to really study this one. You can't just throw this one. I can't half-ass this one.
Yeah, but listen, we got some dope content coming out for you guys. I have a huge article that I'm writing on the return of Jermall Charlo. That's probably going to be dropping either tonight or tomorrow. So I want you guys to check that out. It's going to be a lot of good content dropping on the website. So make sure you guys go sign up for the website, www.brunchboxing.com. We update the website daily. I'm back on my bullshit. I'm back in my writing form. You know, you got me. We got the angry black man. We got my man Carlos Linares, who's giving us everything that's going on in Cuban boxing. We got my guy, Napoleon Fly, whenever he decides to write. And Ezra got some breakdowns coming soon. So we got a lot of good stuff coming on the website and also the Brunch Boxing YouTube. Make sure you go follow at Brunch Boxing Pod on YouTube. We got a lot of good content coming up for you guys, a lot of original content, exclusive content that's only going to be on the YouTube. It's only going to be on the YouTube. So I'm just letting you guys know that right now. All right? So y'all go sign up for the YouTube. Support us any way you can. Get a T-shirt. Get some gear. Hit up Mike. Hit up me. And just support Brunch Boxing, man. But this has been another edition of Brunch Boxing. He is our COO, the Mexican Al Heyman, Mike. He is our host, the master of the walk and talk, Ezra Boxing. I am Matt. We are Brunch Boxing. And we are out. Shout out to Huey, the producer.